Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with your Brody with the virtual handshake?
I'm going to tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want All the Smoke.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. Jack, what's happening?
What's good, my brother?
Man, I can't call it. Everything good out there?
Yes, sir, man.
You look extra comfortable right now. You good? You don't be falling asleep on me, are you?
Nah, I just relocated to a more comfier spot in the crib. That's all.
I'm not mad at that. Man, we got a special guest today coming from, I saw this series on HBO before called Gang Bang in Little Rock. Is it that rough out there, Joe?
Whoa,
welcome, Joe
whoa.
Johnson. Welcome, Joe Johnson, to the show. Are they really gangbanging out in Little Rock, Joe?
What's up? Man, they banging everywhere, man. They banging everywhere. It ain't just Little Rock.
Hey, man. Well, welcome to the show. Let's get to it, man. What is one thing you took from 2020? Obviously, starting with Kobe early in 2020, it was a domino effect of just negative shit throughout the year. What was one thing you took from 2020?
Man, just to cherish the things that you have. More importantly, spending, you know, countless hours or, you know, time with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was it, bro. I stay in the gym, and if I ain't in the gym, I'm with my kids, vice versa.
Absolutely. How many kids, and what are the ages?
I got two. My son, his name is Gavin. He's 14. My daughter, her name is Justice. She's 7.
Okay.
So, yeah, I try to keep him in there with me.
I got a 7-year-old, too.
Is your son into hooping, too?
Yeah. He's into hooping, man. He trains his butt off. You know, he put in the work.
That's what's
up. So, you know, it'll come. He hadn't hit no spurt yet, no growth spurt yet, but you know, it's funny to kind of see the changes and watch them grow week by week. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Now my twins are 12, so they on the same. They finally started to want to work out on their own. So like you said, you see those gradual improvements by the day to day basis. I enjoy it personally.
Oh man, it's fun. It's fun.
So in this young NBA season, who's captured your attention, whether that be teams or individual players?
I would definitely have to say LaMelo, man. LaMelo has been. He's been great. He's been everything that I thought he would be. You know, big, tall point guard who has a great feel for the game. And I just love to watch him play, man.
The one thing I took from him is he's just out there playing with confidence.
And we
all know, we all played a long time. Confidence is everything in this league. And obviously, if you get in the league, you can play. But the fact that you have the confidence in the green light, I love the way he's played. He's played like he's been here for a handful of years already. So he's definitely been an eye-opener. I've loved the way he's played.
Yeah, very poised, man. I enjoy it. You know, to see how he runs the show, how he sees the floor. Like, as a PG, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better player to put with that team with all them athletes they got.
Yep. You look like you're in game shape. You ready for that deadline call?
Man, listen, I stay in game shape. Honestly, bro, I stay in the gym, and me training and working out, I probably enjoy that far more than, you know, hooping. But it keeps me in great shape, and anytime somebody calls me and it's an opportunity, then, yeah, I take a look at it. Like I say, man, my kids keep me going, bro. So we go to the gym every day, work out, and we stay at it.
That's what's up. Well, take us back to where it all started. What was your upbringing like, your childhood?
Man, it was I'm the only child. It was just me and my mother. My dad has two daughters by a previous marriage. But we didn't grow up close-knit, so we trying to, you know, bridge that gap, man. But you know, it's been a little difficult because we're older now, and you know, things are, you know, they doing their thing, I'm doing my thing. But I came up the only child, and you know, it's just me and my mother. She worked 2 and 3 jobs. She did what she could to make things work or for us to get by. And I seen the hard work that she put in day to day. That's kind of how I applied to my my regimen as you know, as I got older, the things I started to do, whether it was training, working out, or taking basketball serious.
When did you start playing basketball?
Man, I fell in love with the game probably about like 8. That's probably like right when I started, like 7, 8 years old. And from that point on, Jack, man, I couldn't put it down. And still to this day, bro, I love it just as much as I loved it back then. That's why it's hard to let go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to let go, bro. It's like that was really and truly my first love. And it's just hard for me to just throw it to the side and be like, you know what, now I don't want to do it no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you play any other sports growing up, or was it just basketball?
Strictly hooper, bro. That's it. Straight. I didn't play. Hey, listen, I'm strictly hooping. That was it. I didn't try no other sport. Didn't want to try no other sport. That's just what it was.
Who are some of the players you looked up to growing up as a hooper?
Some top players, my idols, obviously Michael Jordan, Penny Hardaway, Kobe Bryant. And when I say Kobe, I'm talking the number 8 Kobe. Mm-hmm. That's the Kobe I fell in love with. Mm-hmm. That's the Kobe that was plastered on my wall. You know what I mean? Yeah. I competed a lot against 24. I competed against 8 too, but I competed a lot against 24. And the number 8 is just, 17, 18 years old out of high school playing in the NBA. Kobe, about 2-3 years older than me. I felt that I could do it. I felt it was possible. You know what I mean?
I remember because we did the same pre-draft. You were out in L.A. working with Neil O'Shea.
Yeah.
I was just blown away at how motherfucking smooth and under control this dude was, Jack. Like, he didn't say a word the entire time he was in there. He just killed. The motherfucker had the handle, the footwork, the shot, the step backs. Joe was just out there doing his thing. I'm like, who is this quiet motherfucker over here? He was just going about his shit and just steadily how he went out through his career. You know, his career was the same way. He just went out there and performed. There wasn't no talking. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. Joe was just out there to hoop. And I got my first introduction to him like that. And I think it was 2002? Was it
2002? 2001 when I got
2001.
Drafted.
Yeah,
I got drafted in 2001. Yeah.
Yeah,
only person to spin me around in the NBA. I say that. I give
it. Hey, listen, man. I enjoyed every bit of that. You know, that draft process, going to LA, working out, and what y'all got to understand, man. My whole career, all the way up to about ninth grade, I played point guard. I wasn't the biggest guy. I was average height. I was a strictly point guard. I couldn't play no other position. That's how, like, I was average height. I always had a decent handle. Going into 10th grade, man, I grew like 4 or 5 inches. Yep. You know what I mean? Now I'm 6'5", and jump balling, bringing the ball up the court. Like, man, who this tall, skinny kid? And that's just kind of how it happened. That's kind of happened for real.
Same way, bro. Yeah. That's the same way with me, yeah. Though. I grew probably 5 inches in one summer going to the ninth grade, bro.
Yeah.
All right, the same thing.
These are things that I break down to my son. I'd be like, look, man, because he be asking me questions, like why he can't grip the ball. Like, man, you ain't even grew into your body yet. Your hands ain't big enough yet. You're going to be all right. It's coming. Just relax. Just be patient. You know what I mean?
He want to be ISO Joe now.
Man, yeah. He want it right now. I said, man, just chill. It's going to come, bro.
But he's in that area, too. You know what I mean? Like I said, he's 14. My kids are 12. Now is when people start hitting those spurts. You know what I mean? Some get it early. Some get it a little later. I got mine at 14 going into high school as well. I grew 6 inches, so... He's right on the cusp. I already know how he's feeling. What was the basketball scene back like in Little Rock for high school? Was there a lot of competition out there? You won Mr. Arkansas Basketball 1999, but was there any good competition out there for you?
Yeah, man, we had great competition. Man, you know what? You know, they don't come really do back then. You didn't get a lot of McDonald's All-Americans from down south. I mean, you get a couple here and there, but... The talent down here is crazy, and we're going to help get these guys some notoriety, you know what I mean, but by some of the things that me and my camp is doing to help these guys, to put them on a major platform. But
that's what's up.
No, the talent is great. It was great back then. It's still great, and we just got to get some notoriety to it, yeah.
Hey, that's fast because I'm from the South. I had to go to Oak Hill, Joe, just to make the McDonald's game. I was the same player my junior year. But going to Oak Hill, I got a better look. You know what I'm saying? It's so much talent coming out the South, bro. We just don't get them looks. But what stood out to you? What stood out to you about your high school career?
My high school career, man. I went to high school with a bunch of guys who I knew and grew up with. To be honest, we had been playing together since we was about 11, 12 years old, AAU, The majority of us, you know, went over to Central, this school called Central, Little Rock Central High School. The Little Rock Nine, segregation and all that, that's a whole nother story we can talk about on another day. But initially, me and my best friend was just going there because, you know what, coming out of junior high school, we wasn't highly recruited like that, but we was like, we're going to go to Central. They weren't about nothing. We're going to go over there, and we get to play and be something. But then all other guys, they kind of came over there with us, and it turned us into a powerhouse off dump. Like, from the first season, you know, 10th grade was high school. 9th grade wasn't high school then. So 10th, our 10th grade year, we made it to the title game and we lost. But we should have won it every year, man. But obviously we came up short our senior year. You know, we ran the table, but it was awesome, man. It was some of the best years of my career as far as basketball, because you really become into who you think you're going to be, you know, as far as then you go off to college. But through high school, you're still trying to figure all that out.
And the fact you got to play with your people. You know what I mean? That's what makes it special, when you get to play with the people you grew up with.
Yeah, that was dope, man. Also winning a championship that that high school hadn't won a title in a long time prior to us winning one then. So that was, that was fun.
What top schools was recruiting you?
Man, Jack, I had everybody recruit me, but I only wanted to be a Razorback, man.
Oh, man.
I came up watching. I came up watching Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman.
I knew you was gonna say Scotty Thurman, bro.
I came up watching them guys. Not only that, I was playing pickup with them here and there. So I seen how dominant they was in college. And they made you want to be a Razorback.
So you saw them when UCLA ran through them in the tournament.
Hey, look. I seen everything. Y'all gotta understand, when the Razorbacks played, bro, they stopped school. Like, we was in school, they stopped school, and like, we go to every class and have it on. Like, it was crazy. Dope. Yeah, it was crazy.
That's that small town feel.
Them games with Arkansas and UNLV, man, those games was classic, bro.
Man, they was really brawling out there, man.
Facts.
Nah, for real, that was some real basketball back then, man.
What was your first meeting like with legendary coach Nolan Richardson?
The meeting with me and Coach Richardson and my family was awesome. It was everything we expected. I mean, we committed right after that. I wanted to commit anyway, but you know, him come sitting in my living room talking to my mother, my grandmother, my uncles. That was an amazing feeling. You know, I really feel like I had made it after that.
Freshman year, all freshman team, all tournament, averaged 16-6, 2-2. Led Arkansas to the tournament, lost to Miami in the first round. What was your first experience like in the NCAA tournament? Because that shit is amazing to me. And for those of the guys that, like Jack, you know, went straight to the league, he didn't get a chance to see what that NCAA tournament was like. What was that first experience like for you?
It was awesome for me, the competition alone. But I will say this, you know, my freshman year was kind of a blur. I was a Prop 48 going to college, so I didn't play until January. You see what I'm saying? So when I came on in January, I had everything pent up and built up inside of me.
He was ready to kill.
And I just kind of, lashed it out on the court. But, man, we was 15-14 going into the SEC tournament. We wasn't making it no NCAA championship, no NCAA tournament.
Right.
SEC tournament, we run the table. We play against three top 10 teams in the SEC tournament to go to and beat them and go to the NCAA tournament. It's unheard of. The first team, the only team to ever win the SEC title.
Who were the teams you beat on the way through the tournament, the SEC tournament?
Man, we had to play LSU with Stromile, Smith, and Jabari. Yeah.
Hey, that was Jabari a dunking. Hey, Stromile was a dunking motherfucker, man. I wish he never got hurt. That motherfucker was a dunking motherfucker, boy.
Man, dude was unreal out there. And we played against Kentucky, Tayshaun Prince, Keith Bogans.
Joe Fortson.
And we played against Auburn. Auburn was ranked like number 5 that year.
Sophomore year, all SEC second team, honorable mention All American. You got a chance to play 30 games, 15-6-3. Lost to Georgetown in the NCAA tournament, and then it's time to go. Walk us back to what your college experience like. Obviously, it was a dream to go there. You go there for 2 years, and then you're ready to take your talents to the NBA.
It was a scary moment. It was scary because I knew that my dreams was right in front of me. So to make that leap and go in there, I had to tell Coach, listen, I think I'm going to enter the NBA draft. That was tough. But, you know, I went through with it.
So 2001, the 10th pick in the draft to the Celtics. You join up with Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker. What was that Celtics team like your first year?
Man, listen, first off, Paul Pierce had just got his first check, like his first big contract. I think he got
couldn't tell him shit.
Oh man, and then you know he had been, you know, Paul had went through, you know, he had went through a lot, man. You know, and you know, with everything he went through, and he got that and Twan, you know, Twan. Hey man, I had a great time, my rookie. Those guys took care of me. Make it like that.
Trust me, I know.
Them dudes said, hey, look, for a young country boy, man, you get me out there in Boston, man. Listen, we was all through that thing. You hear me?
Yeah. Hey, who were some of the vets on your team?
Tony Battee, Eric Williams, Kenny Anderson, Walter McCarty.
Solid.
I played with some real vets, man. Them dudes, absolutely. Hey, they changed my life, man.
I think you touched on a good point because the NBA has completely obviously changed the way they play, but when we came into the league, there were vets, like real vets, like in the age vet, that 33 to 37, 38 range, where whether they played or not, they contributed to the team. They helped young people like you. You know, they were ready if they were called upon, but the game is different now. And I say that to say, I still feel like you can play. I still feel like Jamal Crawford can play. There's guys that can still play, but the NBA has changed from a standpoint of, now, you know, Steph Curry is a vet on the Warriors, and he's like 32. He's the oldest player on the team, which is crazy because, like I said, when we first came in the league, there were real OG vets that were there to do a lot of, you know, the dirty work and in the lifting and helping young guys kind of navigate the crazy NBA life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough now. I mean, the league is getting younger and younger. Mm-hmm. You know, you got guys, there's so many guys come one and done that, you know, they're going to keep a guy based off potential as opposed to somebody who's been around, you know, for 15, 16 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's just kind of how it is.
What was your welcome to the NBA moment?
My welcome to the NBA moment was playing against so my rookie year was MJ's first year back in the NBA with the Wizards.
Ooh.
Yeah, we played against them fourth game of the season. I was starting. Eric Williams get hurt second game of the season, small forward. So they start me, and I got to guard MJ. Paul Pierce like, man, I'm going to get him in the fourth quarter. I need you to give him the first three. I'm like, all right, bet. So, man, we got out there. First off, Twan and MJ talking stuff to each other on the tip. Like, you know what I'm saying? So MJ tell Paul, I got to come all the way back to the NBA just to get a pickup game with you, just to get a run with you. So they all going back and forth the whole game. But I'm like, man, y'all got to chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the one got to guard this man. But it was a fun moment, man. I embraced the challenge, and I had so much fun. But I got so many pictures and memories from that moment. And even the video, like, it was crazy. It was on TNT. Like, I'll never forget it.
What did he do that game? What did MJ do?
He finished with, like, 30, 32.
What'd you do?
We ended up getting – I had 16 and 10.
Oh, solid. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Solid.
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 Solid. Solid. Playing solid with Twan and Paul in they prime. That's solid.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got I'm surprised you got enough looks to get 16 with them two.
Right.
So early in your career, you traded from the Celtics to the Sun for Rodney Rogers and Tony Delk in 2002. Is that when you realized it was a business?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a business. I just thought I wasn't going to want it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand that when you create a little value for yourself as a young guy, then, you know, they don't want you to get hurt or they don't want you to mess that value up, so they're going to push you to the side a little bit. You know, I was averaging 14 points a game playing with them as a rookie. And coach came to me straight up and was like, look, man, because we had two other rookies, Joe Forte and Kedrick Brown. He was like, we got to give these guys a look. So I sat down. I didn't play for like 17 straight games, DNPs. And then I got traded.
Cold game. So what was it like headed to Phoenix? Obviously a great city. What was it like when you first got there?
Well, when I first got there, it was Stephon Marbury, Penny Hardaway, Sean Marion. And I right away was coming off the bench backing those three guys up. And it was fun, but, you know, I was so inconsistent early in my years that, you know, I didn't even get to play a lot, to be honest.
In 2002, 2003, we ended up playing y'all in the playoffs in the first round. And around that time, you was coming to your own. You really was helping carry that team besides Steph and Amari. What you remember about this series?
I just remember being amped to play, man. I'm going to be honest. Like, I think we were the AC, y'all the one seed, Jack.
Yep.
I knew it was going to be tough to beat y'all, but I know we messed around and won that first game when Steph hit that buzzer beater.
Oh, man, from half court, bro, we was destroyed.
Hey, I knew that, you know, Steph and Amari could dominate. You know, for me, I'm just going to be honest, man, I wasn't that polished to help them dudes and Sean to help them or get on the help that we needed to try to, you know, make a playoff push. It took me another year or two before I could, you know, understand that.
What changed when Steve Nash arrived the following year?
Steve could have averaged 25 and 10. Mm. But he chose to average 14 points and 13 assists. Mm-hmm. We get Steve Nash and Quinn Richardson. Q, that's my guy. It was me and Q. Q led the league in three point makes. I shot 47% from the three. We were shooting the cover off that thing. Mm-hmm. And Steve made sure, man, he made sure that we ate. That's what it was. I really appreciate him for that, man, because he could have, each and every night, he could have came out and averaged at least 25.
Well, you guys kind of really started, or not started, because we touched on it with Golden State, but you guys really brought that small ball, up-tempo pace of game to the NBA to stay, and mm-hmm. obviously now everyone plays with that. But what was it like, that style? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the style we all want to play. We all just want to get out and hoop, run, feel the lane, shoot, dunk. But what was it like actually getting to do it in a real-life NBA setting?
Man, I don't even know if that was D'Antoni's style from the jump. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what I think happened. What I think happened was, like I tell you, I was a little inconsistent. So they bring Nash and Q over for me and Q to battle out at the two spot. Because Sean, at the time, was at the three. He was an all-star at the three.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So throughout the whole camp, you know, from time to time, me and Q would be up against each other. Sometimes we'd be on team. But by the time we came to the first preseason game, he was like, man, Sean, you just played a four. Amari, you played a five. And right. Joe and Q, y'all two and three. Because he just didn't want to leave nobody out, I guess. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, we blow through the whole preseason. I'm talking about smashing teams. But, you know, it's the preseason. They like, oh, man, what up? Regular season started, it was the same thing.
So the next year, you average a career-high 17 points, get a chance to play all 82 games. You guys win 61 games. What was it like kind of finding your footing? Because on the outside looking in, that's kind of when you really started finding yourself. What was it like to kind of find and come into your own in that situation?
It was fun for me because I played backup point guard. Even though I started at the two, or the three rather, I backed up Steve Nash. When he went out the game, I played the point. Mm. And I always love playing a point because I love making plays and making guys better. So I always took that challenge and had fun with it. Coach D'Antoni trusts me enough, man, to put the ball in my hands through, you know, in tough situations, crunch time, and I just tried to deliver.
You had a nice run with Phoenix. 2005, you signed as a restricted free agent. A sign and trade. You got your first nice piece of money.
Ching, ching.
You feel like your time was up in Phoenix, or just you wanted a fresh start in Atlanta?
The way it was set up, you know, like if Phoenix scared everybody off from trying to sign me, then they could lowball me and come back with some BS. Mm-hmm. So I had to tell them, look, let's do the sign and trade. I don't want to come back. I had to. If I didn't, then I'd have came back for peanuts. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I had to make a tough decision.
That sounds like some Robert Sarver shit over there.
Yeah, bum it was his ass. First year, actually.
Yeah, he was a bum, so we understand where you're coming from.
What did you see for yourself in ATL? Like, when you got there, what did you see?
I mean, other than the city, you know, I love the city. You know, I had been to Atlanta a few times, but I knew the Hawks wasn't a playoff team. But, you know, I was like, look, man, maybe, you know, in a couple of years we can get this thing rolling and turn this thing around, because I thought the city deserved, you know, a playoff team, a title contending team. And, you know, we was able to turn around, man. When I first got to Atlanta, man, it didn't even feel like the NBA. Like, we literally had about maybe 300 to 400 people at the games. It was bad, man. It was so depressing, like, to the point where I didn't even want to go out to eat, hang out. I ain't want to do nothing. Like, it was bad.
From 2005 to 2010, you have a run of five straight seasons, averaging 20 points a game. What were, once you guys, you were able to change the climate and the culture there, getting into the playoffs 2008 to 2012, you had some memorable matchups, you know, running into the Celtics team of 08, LeBron's MVP 2010 team, Derrick Rose. What were some of your more memorable playoff moments with that team?
Man, probably, you know, to be honest, I had to say the Celtics series against KG and Paul.
You guys took them to seven, right? You took them to seven, didn't you?
Yeah, we took them to seven games. We were the eighth seed, they were the one seed, and they just couldn't beat us in Atlanta, man. Atlanta, the fans really came out and gave us that sixth man that we needed because we was kicking their butt in Atlanta, but they was roasting us in Boston. We didn't have a chance.
We didn't have a chance in Boston. But they ain't have a Magic City in Boston.
But in Atlanta. Hey, listen. Man, we mopping the people in the A, man, but we couldn't do nothing in Boston.
Tough. Who were some of the people you were closest to on that Atlanta team?
Guys like Josh Smith. You know, someone who I talk to still today, and I mean, he's my neighbor. Marvin Williams. When we got little Jeff Teague, Josh Childress. You know, all those guys were young in age, and you know, not far apart from me, at least 2-3 years far apart from me. So, you know, all those guys were cool.
Was Jamal there with you at all, Crawford?
Yeah, I played with Jamal Crawford for 2 years, man. Dude there is a clown.
He tickling the shit out of you the whole time?
Hey. Man, what is wrong with this dude, man? Yo. What is wrong with him?
Hey, he don't even say a word to you, Matt. He just walk up to you and start tickling you. He don't even say a word to you, bro.
With them fingers, he'll poke you right in your fucking ribs.
Man, what's wrong with that dude, man? Hey, nah, that was my boy, though. That was my boy.
Yeah, shout out Jay Crawford, man.
Shout out Jamal. We got to get Jamal on the show, man.
Yes, I can't believe y'all ain't had him on here. Yeah, I know he got a lot to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So what led to you making the move from Atlanta to Brooklyn?
I don't know, man. Maybe timing. You know, I got a phone call. They asked me, it's like, man, what you think about playing, you know, with the Brooklyn Nets? And at that time, the Brooklyn Nets was going to be their first year. So I was like, whatever. It's New York, whatever. And 2-3 days later, I was traded. That's kind of how it happened.
So you're trading for Jordan Farmer, Anthony Morrow, Petro, Deshaun Stevenson, and Jordan Williams for a first-round pick. What was that experience like? Obviously, a new Brooklyn team. Like you said, you're in New York. What was that experience like?
It was nothing like no other. I had a great time playing in New York. It was awesome. I never thought I'd be playing in New York. And I thought Brooklyn was a great franchise and still is. And I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole process. I had great teammates. You know, obviously, I wish we could have, you know, done something special, but we didn't. But it was fun.
I got a chance to see Darren Williams at his best, bro. And, you know, we lost to him in the playoffs. How was it playing with him, and how good was he at his best?
He was great. You know, I think, you know, whenever he had his mind made up, man, to attack and make guys better around him,
he
couldn't do nothing with him because I've seen him accept the challenge, you know, night in and night out against guys who, you know, he may have heard whispers that was better than him or things of that nature. So I've seen him accept the challenges and you know, answer that. I knew he was a top point guard.
The blockbuster trade of 2013 that brought Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to Brooklyn along with Jason Kidd as the head coach. What was the energy like around the city, and what was your excitement level like to be able to have these guys team up with you?
Oh, the energy around the city was crazy. You know, everything. I mean, the buzz was – it was sick. We was a title-contending team. We was a team that was supposed to beat Miami. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I felt that way. I thought that we could have – I thought that we really had the team to give them a great run, man. You know, those guys brought that pedigree, that championship pedigree that we needed as a team to get guys like myself, Darren, and Brooke over the hump. So they were great. They did their part, man. We just came up short. But the journey was fun, man. Getting to know, you know, KG and getting to know Paul on another level. I mean, that was fun for me.
What was it like teaming up with them as teammates? Obviously, you got a chance to team up with Paul your rookie year. You know, you're several years into the league now. You've established yourself as one of the best players in the league. What was it like having those guys around in the locker room? And what are some of the crazy stories you guys had as a team?
Well, KG got a story every day. He got a different story every day. Every day he gonna be in full sweat telling you the story too. So I look forward to getting to practice because he was always the first one at practice. You could never beat him in practice first, but anytime I got there, he always had a story for me. So he was definitely one of the guys who I used to always, you know, nitpick and ask him questions. And he's a hell of a teammate. He's just, you know, a guy to compete against. You know, you probably have problems with, but as a teammate, bro, you would love him.
No, we had him on the show, and I only got a chance to compete against him the whole time, but getting a chance to meet him off the court and know him now, it's crazy because you would think, like, his energy is like, is that fake? Is that this? Is that? That's the motherfucker you get when the game is going and in real life sitting next to you chilling. The same energy, the same kind of talk, the same sweat, the same crazy stories. Is what you get on and off the court with him. So it was fun seeing that.
The energy was great. You know, Jason Terry was with them too. So they
he's a whole character.
Oh my God, the energy was crazy. But you know, like I said, man, they kept us focused day in and day out on what the prize was, on ultimately what we was trying to do is win a title, and we just tried to gain that chemistry the whole year, but. We dealt with so many injuries. Brooke went out for, he broke his foot and was out for the whole year. And we was playing through Brooke. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now we had to switch up the whole scheme and figure things out. But we tried to make the most of it, man. Those guys were great. They did everything they could for us. And I just hate that we didn't even, you know, at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or something. You know, I just thought that we had that, they put that team together for us to really compete.
Obviously, the goal was to make it to the finals. You guys fell a little short, but, you know, that playoff process, you guys had a thrilling seven-game series against Toronto where Paul Pierce comes up big with that shot. What was the process like trying to get to the finals that year? Because obviously you guys had the team you felt that was good enough to beat LeBron and them. What was the process like in the playoffs?
It was tough. It was a little up and down because we had a game in there to where, man, we were down almost 40 points, and we came back and tied it up and almost won. I think throughout every game, we learned something that, you know, you had to be consistent for 48 minutes. And I think for me, that was probably the thing that I seen the most. Like, you know, we put together a good half or three quarters, but we wasn't finishing games. And come the latter part of that series, we was able to put them away in that seven game in Toronto. We played unbelievable down the stretch.
Now you guys are heading into the second round with Miami. You know, obviously they got their big team. You guys got your team. You guys played them well during the regular season, but in the playoffs, LeBron went on another level. Mm-hmm. What was that series like?
He had one of them games, man, to where he just, you know, locked in and. I think he scored like 49 points, but it was just him being ultra aggressive and just taking everything we gave him. You know, when he's knocking down them deep jumpers,
ain't nothing you could do.
You at his mercy. He just had one of those games, man, where he exploded and we couldn't do nothing with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. Yeah. But it got him over the hump. Yeah.
So you guys are on the decline. You guys went all or nothing in with Brooklyn. The plan doesn't work. In 15, 16, you guys are steady on the decline. You take a buyout, head to South Beach for a little bit. What was going on? What was Miami like?
Man, it was everything you can imagine.
Trust me, we know.
First class. Listen, they first class, first and foremost. And, man, you're going to put in the work. You know, there ain't no cutting no corners around now. You know what I mean? Like, they do weight and body fat every Friday. So, if you don't make weight and body fat, it's going to be trouble. So, you know, I looked forward to that, and I needed that type of discipline, man, when I was playing. So, I had a great time in Miami, and I took a lot of things from that place that I still use today in my daily life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope. So, you went from one hot spot in Miami to Salt Lake City, where you found your role and played that perfect vet role and helping defeat the Clippers in the first round. What was it like going from Miami to Utah?
It was a little bit of a culture shock, but I made the most of it. I enjoyed the process. I knew what I was there for, and I just wanted to fulfill that. You know, at that point, man, I was – I was about 34. I knew my basketball career was pretty much coming to an end as far as playing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go out there and help those young guys win, and we put together a great game plan. You give Quinn and his coaching staff, you know, a great amount of credit because of what they're doing now. It does not surprise me, man. That man is a genius.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about him. You got a chance to play too with the young Gordon Hayward, who we talked about earlier in one of our other shows, who's kind of finding his footing again in Charlotte. How good was Gordon Hayward healthy in Utah?
Gordon's great. I mean, he's a three-level scorer. Get to the cup, mid-range, three ball. He's good off the bounce and good in pick and rolls. He made guys better. I thought he was great. I think he's a great talent. And he's showing and proving that now, you know, in Charlotte. Yeah.
Nickname, ISO Joe. I kind of changed your name, bro. I kind of switched your name up a little bit. See, people don't know. You wanted the original Jordan guys, you know what I'm saying? You wanted original Jordan guys. So I changed your name, especially after the battle we had in the championship, and after you ran through the big three, I changed your name to Airso Joe. when was the name Ice? I'm calling you Airso Joe from here on out. But when did the name Airso Joe officially? When was the name officially born?
I don't know when, man. I'm going to be honest, because when I be seeing some late game footage, like older game footage, I can hear the announcer say ISO Joe. I just remember it really coming alive in Utah, you know, in Utah in that Clippers series. I remember hearing it so much, and it just kind of stuck with it.
It seems like throughout your career, you've always been willing to take and make the big shots down the stretch. You've always been a clutch performer. Has it just always been that way? Was there a point in the league where you felt like, okay, I could do this? Or have you always had that thought process even coming into the NBA?
Man, you know what? It's just a knack that I've had since high school, man. In late game situations, I've always been pretty good. You know, I just try not to let my team and coaching staff down. In those moments, you know, in those moments of needing a bucket or needing a stop. But more importantly, it's just I just love those moments, man. I mean, we all have them. You know, we all count down, shoot the shot. I just love being in those situations.
Hey, I think Matt, though, with him, it's a little different because he already like a laid-back type of cat. And in games, he got that Tim Duncan gene. You can't rattle them. You can't frustrate them. They always that even keel. So, Kobe the same way. And the guys at the end of the game that's at even keel, they're going to shoot their shot the same way as at the end of the game, the same way they're shooting in the first quarter.
Absolutely.
That's that poison patience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I be preaching, bro. Poison patience. I teach that to my son. I teach that to all my kids who we train. And because if you got that, there's nothing that can rattle you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's key, and very few players have it. Are there any shots in your career that stand out the most? You've hit a lot of big ones. Any ones that you remember like, okay, hell yeah, that was it?
Anything that stands out?
I know you got to go through a lot of game winners.
Make it – hey, that shit, I know one for sure.
Which one?
The one in Brooklyn. You hit two in Brooklyn.
Against the Bucks.
Yeah. That was a big one.
Yeah. I would say them was probably the most difficult ones because the way I caught the ball on the three-pointer the first time, I had to turn my body like the opposite way from my shooting hand. So to make that shot to tie the game, that was tough.
And then
to come back in overtime and make the game-winning shot, a pull-up at the free throw line was, that was probably the toughest one, I would say. Yeah.
Seven-time All-Star, any moments in the All-Star game that stand out to you the most?
Yeah, my first one, man, I played, my first one was in Vegas. I didn't even get picked for the All-Star game. I was averaging 25 a game, but I'm playing with the Hawks. We weren't winning. Jay Kidd get hurt. He was playing, he get hurt, and I was alternate. I took it with pride. I showed up in Vegas and had a hell of a time. Man, that was my first one, bro. I enjoyed that one, man. Hey, it was, because it was so unexpected. It was so spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Like, we was already on the West Coast playing, and you had to be, you know, in Vegas on like a Friday. It was already like Wednesday. So when they told me, right to Vegas. Man, we had a ball. Me and my homies went out there and had a ball.
I was going to say, that's the All-Star game that the Pac-Man Jones got in trouble at in Vegas, right? It was the NBA that this got to some shit, right?
Yeah.
Toughest opponents throughout your career?
Toughest opponents, man. The toughest guys that were for me to guard were guys like Ray Allen, Reggie Miller.
That moved a lot.
Rip Hamilton. It was too much for me, man. Chasing off them picks, they never stopped moving.
I hated it.
See, people... Man, listen, that is because look, you gotta spend so much energy defensively, it take away your offense because you're chasing the whole game. That's the hardest part.
Right.
That was them the hardest legs. People to guard. Yeah, people think like, don't get me wrong, it is hard to guard Kobe, LeBron. But you know, you can play good defense, they make a shot, all right, cool. But to chase a man around the whole court and then have to fight through two and three picks, that's the hardest thing. Yeah,
that's when they had the big screeners too. You had Ben Wallace, Rasheed in Detroit. KG was setting picks for Ray, like chasing them dudes in Indiana. See, it was funny because we were playing Boston in the Eastern Finals, and I had to chase Ray's ass around. I was going between Paul and Ray, and I just couldn't get it. So I called Reggie Miller. I was just like, yo, what the fuck can I do to tell? So he had told me a couple tricks on grabbing and not letting them feel his body, and it helped. But overall, I remember having to chase these dudes around picks. You work your ass off, get hit with big screens, and they still make the shot. That shit used to be so frustrating, man.
It is, so frustrating. It is. That's the hardest thing.
Who was your favorite one-on-one battle?
My favorite one-on-one battle? Man, I had some good battles with Brandon Roy.
B-Roy.
Brandon Roy. Hell yeah. Killer.
Man, I had some good battles with Brandon Roy. Playing against Bron in Cleveland a few times, we used to have some good battles.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe, I remember going back and forth with Kobe one time. He came to Atlanta. Lakers came to Atlanta. And, man, probably by like the last 14 points, 15 points, it was just me and him going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's... And when Lakers come to Atlanta, you'll see a number of Laker fans in there.
Yeah.
And, man, they was going crazy. They was going crazy. But those are definitely moments that I remember.
You mentioned Brandon Roy as one of your favorite matchups. What made him so special? I feel like he's someone who gets lost in the mix and probably one of the greatest what-if stories in the history of the game. What made Brandon Roy so special in your opinion?
He just knew how to play, man. He had a great pace. He had a great pace to his game. And he was an underrated defender. I thought he was a pretty good defender. And he really made me lock in when I played against him. That's why I say he was one of the good matchups because he was a quiet guy also, but he got it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you guys had some similarities from a pace of play and never hurried, can play at different speeds if wanted, and can definitely get a bucket. So that's interesting you brought that up as a matchup because I definitely see some comparisons and some similarities between you two.
Yeah, and he was athletic, too. That boy had some sneaky hops.
Hell yeah, dunk on you, too.
Big three, bro. Big three. Are you hoping to return to the big three? I was in the big three from the start, one of the faces, bro. And my 3 years of playing the big three, my favorite game, I was honored to play against you in the championship. I think that was my favorite game by far in my big three career. But I know you're returning as defending champ. How you feeling about the big three, and did you enjoy it?
Man, I'm honestly looking forward to it. I'm hoping that it comes back. I want to play. And for me, it done wonders, man. I mean, it gave me an outlet. It was a stress reliever from that time through what I was going through. Gave my kids something to do on the weekend, something fun. But most importantly, I got a chance to compete again at a high level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy that, man. That never dies. I don't feel like it ever dies in me. You know, that competitive nature, always wanting to compete and play. Like, I mean, it's just me.
So it kind of seems like, will you ever be at peace with letting basketball go, or are you going to be someone that we're going to see in the gym still in 10 or 15 years or busting your son's ass somehow, some way? Well, basketball is always going to be a big part of your life?
Yeah, basketball will always be a big part, man. It opened too many doors for me. I love it. And I didn't quit because I have a knee surgery, ankle surgery, or I had an injury, period. You know, it's just the older you get. I mean, you guys understand how it is or the nature of the business. But, you know, I wasn't that great, you know, my last year or two in the NBA. But I still love to play. And like I say, my kids push me, man. So, yeah, y'all always see me in the gym. Y'all always see me working out and probably see me hooping somewhere.
Let me go back right quick, though. But I want you, shout out to Ice Cube. I want you to set the stage for a lot of people that don't know. The Big Three Championship, Bron sideline. We had all the superstars, all the celebrities. Well, tell me your experience for that Big Three Championship in LA at Staples Center.
It was more than what I expected. I really enjoyed it. I think, shout out to Cube, man, for making that happen. And getting a chance to compete against you, Jack, was awesome, bro. I already knew the challenges that was upon myself and our team going into that game. I was like, look, man, don't y'all go to listen to all that Jack going to be talking, man. Y'all get out there and let's compete at the highest level. Hey, look, we ain't studying what he talked about. Man, we're going to compete at the highest level. We're going to get behind here with this win. So, man, I really appreciate that. And then, look, and I became super, super cool with Frank Nitti. We played in TBT together. So a lot came from there, man. I really appreciate y'all, man. I mean, I had a ball. I hope y'all enjoyed yourselves as well.
I did, bro, because, like, me being around, I know you was going through a lot at the time. You had just lost somebody, bro. So to see you rejuvenate, you know what I'm saying, come back to the Big Three and do what you said you was going to do, dog, not only I wanted to win, but the competitor and the brother in me was happy to see you win, bro.
No, that appreciate shit was fun that, to man. Watch. I mean, it looked like you hadn't missed a step. You opened up a pathway. You were the first player to get a shot from the Big Three to the league, right? If I'm not mistaken, with the Detroit situation.
First one to get a job.
Oh, yeah. Some good came from that. The only problem, my only problem was I went from playing one game a week to in training camp 7 days a week. You know what I'm saying? That was my only problem. Like, you know, I work out and train during the week, doing the Big Three, but I know I ain't got to go as hard. You know, on the weekend, I'm like, man, they put me in that training camp, and my tendonitis and both of my knees, bro, flared up. And that ultimately got me cut. So it got me cut, but I went back to the drawing board, and I figured out pretty much how to, you know, bulletproof your knees, so to speak, or make them stronger. And it was a lot of things I really had to dive into deep as far as the body and how to train the body and keep the body going as you get older. You know, as we get older, you know, people think we got a tendency to where, you know, we can't hoop or we can't run. We can't do little things like running outside in the yard with our kids. But there are ways, but you got to put in the work, dog. You got to be disciplined. You got to have some consistency to it in order for it to work. Right, so absolutely. I dove into it. And then COVID happened, and I stayed into what I was doing, which was working out, training my body, preparing my body to be able to go hoop with no problems. That's basically what it was.
No, we didn't definitely see you. You're a lot more active on the gram now. Look like you're trying to be an underwear model. That boy's out here trying to get it. I'm motherfucking ready.
Hey, look, tell him holler at me, man. Hey, we're gonna explore all options. You know what I'm saying? If it makes sense, then we'll holler at you. You know what I'm talking about?
Goddamn motherfucker, right.
Next thing you know,
hey, Peter Paul said try it all, man.
That's right.
I see everybody out here getting themselves right. I say, man, look, let me throw something up here, man, and throw
Hell
this fish
yeah.
line out here, see what
Hell
happens.
Yeah.
Gotta catch that wave.
Next
everybody
thing I know,
got a wave
be
to
in
catch.
LA.
Hey, man, listen, if one thing about it, COVID has taught us all to be self-sufficient. And if you don't do nothing else, man, just invest in yourself. So that's what I'm doing.
You talking to the right guy, Matt. Matt is the guy. Trust me. If you want to get into that lane, Matt is the guy.
Home stretch, quick hitters.
U+4 going to the blacktop. Who you bringing with you?
Oh, going to the blacktop to hoop.
Yeah.
To hoop. Who you taking?
Anybody?
Yeah.
Yep.
U+4.
Hold on. So this ain't, we ain't talking NBA. We just talking period.
Hoop. Anybody.
Straight up.
Period.
Oh, man, I'm bringing the homies from around the way. I got four people around here, man. I'm putting against anybody. We're going to be good.
Hey, but Joe, but what they don't know is, you brought two people from your Arkansas team and won a Big Three championship.
Right, we played college ball together. Me, Genario Pargo, and Sagario Gibson. We played college ball together.
Yep,
That was another thing that enticed me to play in the Big Three. And I remember seeing Cube at the combine. Cube was like, "Hey, look, I'm gonna tell you right now, you better not be picking your homeboy, man. I'm picking people who I know are gonna be out there, gonna put themselves on the line, man, for us to win. See, I knew that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was fun as well. Yeah,
that was dope. One player you wish you could have played with that you didn't get a chance to during your career?
Probably LeBron, because I had that opportunity, and I chose to go play in Miami. Mm. Yeah.
That's a big one.
But that's the year they came back and won it. They were down 3-1 in the finals and won it.
Yeah, against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, you could have been on that team? Ooh.
Yeah, but see, that's the competitive side of me, because it was like, man, you can go over here with D Wade in Miami, man. Y'all can play against LeBron and compete. That's just what I had in me. I was like, man, I'm going over here with D Wade, because at the time the Heat was still good. They was like number 5 in the East, and I was like, I can help. And I think we got up to like 2 or 3, but we ultimately, Whiteside, he got hurt in the playoffs, man. And we played against Toronto. I'm out there playing the 5.
Look.
The funny part, that's how Bismack got paid.
Biyombo.
He got paid out there.
Because he was playing against a small forward.
Give me your top 5 clutch players.
Top 5 clutch. MJ, Kobe, LeBron. I'm going to say AI.
Yes, sir.
And D-Wade, bro.
D-Wade.
Solid list.
That D-Wade first championship, man, that man carried that team.
Man, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable.
He averaged like 37 in the finals, I think he averaged.
That man was unreal out there.
Mm-hmm. Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Five dinner guests. Bernie Mac.
Rest in peace.
Nice.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Bernie Mac. I don't know how to think about that one, guy. that's a good one.
Yeah, 5 dinner guests, dead or alive. You got Bernie Mac.
I'm going to have to come back to that one, man.
That's a good question.
Bill Clinton.
Ooh, okay. That's a first.
Yeah.
Arkansas, man.
I say Bill Clinton because he from here.
Of course. Arkansas connection.
I definitely put Obama in there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Two more.
Okay, so that's two presidents I'm sitting down with.
Yep, two presidents. Yep.
And Bernie.
So, yeah, we're going to have some jokes. bring my mom with me then. You sit there, don't lie. Bring mom and Deuce with me.
Yeah, get right there. Right there. Right there.
With me, yeah.
Right there. Got to have moms that'll make it right.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see on the show? Who do you want to see on All the Smoke? But before you answer this question, you have to help us with the answer. Whatever your answer is, you got to help us get that person on.
Okay, who do I want to see on All the Smoke?
Yeah.
Oh, we was talking about him earlier. Y'all got to get Jamal Crawford on here, bro.
Jay Crawford, yeah. Good call.
I need to hit him, tell him, hey, man, them folks looking for you, man.
Hold on, Matt. Hey, Joe. You know I know that Southern talk. Hit him with the same lingo you just hit us with. You want me to hit them folk? You want me to hit them folk? Hit him with that same thing, man.
You want me to hit them folk, man? Them people looking for you, man. They trying to see what you got going on, man. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, I got y'all. All right, I got y'all. Yes, I got y'all, man.
That's what's up.
My boy, we appreciate you, dog. Yeah.
Man, thank you, Joe, for your time, man. Thank you. That's a wrap.
Thank you, man.
Joe, thank you for your time. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.